Welcome back, everybody. Gridiron Sticks here. Like we did last week, we're going to start off with the NHL again. I know we touched up on Crosby's injury last week, but we didn't really know how long term it was going to be. Now we do. He's out 6 weeks. He had abdominal surgery. This is a big hit. I know. So he's been out 2 games now, and Penguins have won both games.
No,
they lost
in a close game. I mean, it wasn't a blowout. So, like, at least when they're losing, like, they lost to the. I mean, they lost to the Devils. That's not something, and they lost to the Rangers too because he was out against the Rangers.
Yeah. But
they're not like, yeah, those aren't two teams that you exactly want to lose to because
especially
they're,
because they're division rivals.
Yeah. But it wasn't like
you got blown out of waters.
And then the team that we were actually supposed to lose to,
Toronto.
We blow them out of the water. So like.
I don't know how to make of it so far with the injury.
It's not just a big hit for the Penguins. I mean, it's bigger for them just because, you know, you're on your team. He's your best player by far. I mean, not by a long shot, but, like, he's obviously a top three player in the NHL. But it hurts the league as a whole, too, because when you're, one of your top players goes out, you know.
Well, not only that, but, like, he's – I mean, he's the engine that keeps the Penguins offense going. And
6 weeks of his illustrious career are going to be missed now. But I think they're – I mean, they're not sitting comfortably, but, like
– they're definitely not sitting comfortably. I mean, they're currently in a wild card spot. Tampa's now, I think, back doing what Tampa does best, and that's winning games in the regular season. Buffalo has faltered off.
But, yeah, Buffalo is not exactly.
But, like, other teams in that Eastern Conference, mainly more so the Atlantic Division, they've taken a step up.
They have a home-and-home against the Islanders. Then they have three straight home games against the Devils, the Flames, and the Canucks.
Which that's going to be tough, and, like, you need points in those games. But since we touched up on the Maple Leafs, this team's struggling. I mean, at one point, I think they were like 9-4-3, something like that, close to that.
Okay.
Now they're at 500.
Yeah, it's
I mean, just based off the game against the Penguins this weekend, that was bad all around. Like, yeah, you're not playing your number one goalie, Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, you have a kid that's making his first, well, he's not even a kid, but like you have a guy
he's making,
making his
NHL debut in net, so obviously there's gonna be question marks. He made big saves, like tough saves. I mean, there was a lot. I'd say there was probably maybe like three or four that he probably should have realistically had,
but you think about that, even if he had all, like you said, four, they're still losing that game
because they had no offensive output whatsoever. They had They were a liability in their own zone the entire game. I mean, so I don't know how long it's been since Mitch Marner has been out, but maybe he's the reason why Toronto is good.
Yeah.
Because
maybe it's not the two guys that they, you know, or three guys they spent a boatload on.
Well, I mean, they spent a boatload on Marner too, but.
But with him being out and if the team's struggling because of that, maybe later down the season, one of the other guys, okay, you don't hope for an injury, but, like, you know, if one of those other three go out and then he comes back and they do fine, we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard a lot of rumors about Mike Babcock being fired. Obviously, a lot of this is speculation, mainly in the Toronto area. But there was a report that I saw that's saying that the Leafs organization is giving him three more games. And not only do you have to win those three games, they want to see the team morale improve. They want to see the team actually playing better in those three games. So, I mean, this is only speculation. It's only just a rumor. Who knows if it's actually going to happen? But it's something I saw, and I believe it could be true, because this team should be a Stanley Cup threat, and right now they're out of the playoff spot.
Yeah,
but.
And But we're getting closer and closer to the threshold of where you can say, but it's only been so many games because we're already a quarter of the way into the season. So you kind of – you want to pick it up.
Like teams that were struggling early on, like Dallas and San Jose. San Jose has won 6 games in a row.
But they're still
– They're at 500.
Dallas has picked it up, though.
Dallas is in a wild card spot now.
Yeah.
But, like, you can – and, like, prime example is last year. Buffalo went, 10-0 first month and then faltered off.
Yeah.
They're doing something similar this year, too.
Yeah.
But, like
– they're still
– they're still in the,
hanging in there.
In the hunt, but, like
– they're only a point out of the play, the wild card, so.
But moving on, this one, a lot of people might not agree just based on the sole fact that he plays who he plays with, but
yeah,
Leon Draisaitl is a top player in the league. I know he plays with Connor McDavid, and literally you can make the case and say, okay, Zach Cassian also plays on that line. Zach Cassian's career high in points in a season, I think, is like 29. I think he's already at 20, if not close to 20, this year so far. But you also have to look at the fact that Leon Draisaitl is just producing. He's gone – he has the same amount of games that he's gone pointless as the same amount of games that he had 4 or more points, and that's 2 games each.
That's dumb.
Like – he has like 7 or 8 multi-point games or whatnot. Like, he's not just producing; he's producing at an unreal rate, at a rate that we haven't seen since the early 2000s and late 90s, when scoring was a lot easier.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's not in the top three because the top three is McDavid, Crosby, and MacKinnon.
However biased you want to put, you know. Arrange that list as your own choice.
Yeah.
But it's clear that it's those three and then
everybody else.
Yeah. But like you said,
Draisaitl is proving that he should realistically be at least in the top 5. Definitely top 10.
Yeah.
But in the consideration of top 5. But one thing that'll hold him back is the simple fact of he plays with Connor McDavid.
Now, if he does, you know, Lord have mercy, something happens to McDavid, and then his production
dips,
then...
Yeah.
But for now, you know, we don't want to speculate anything. Yeah. We're going to give the guy his due, and he deserves it. So, but before we move on, this something caught my eye. Nashville's second worst in their division. What do you think of that?
So, Chicago has picked up lately, more specifically, Patrick Kane has been on fire as of late. So I know this because I have Pekka on my fantasy team. Pekka in the past week and a half has not been good. And scoring wise, I guess they're okay, but
they still have a +4 point or goal differential.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, like Pekka, the goaltending has just not been there as of late.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't know how you can fix it other than the fact that you need to get Rene his confidence back. You need to get UC Saros his confidence back. And, I mean, you have the offensive capability. You got Philip Forsberg back a few games ago. He was on a tear. Mikael Granlund has really struggled this year. He had like 5 points in his first like few games, but no, I'm sorry. He had 4 points in his first few games. We're like 20 games in now. He only has 6 points, so he's gotten 2 points since. And he had like, I think it was like his first like 4 games he had 4 points. So Nick Bonino also was like up there a little bit in goal scoring. He's tailed off, I mean, as expected, because he's not going to be like a 30 goal scorer or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I think it's just the biggest thing is that their goaltending needs to be fixed up. And then I don't know if I'm Nashville, I'm going all in this year. and I'm trying to trade for Taylor Hall. And they have the assets to get Taylor Hall.
Mm-hmm.
They can easily clear cap space by trading away like Mikael Granlund or like Kyle Turris. I think the Devils will be more interested in Mikael Granlund than Kyle Turris, younger winger, something that they need, plus picks, prospects, that.
We'll see. Yeah. If they pick it up a little bit, I'd say they're more willing to.
Yeah, more willing to mortgage a future.
But then is Dallas willing to New Jersey willing to, if their pick, like, do you try to go in now and then say, hey, maybe their pick will be high, but then.
The Devil's thing right now is simply this. All right, we saw what happened with John Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what he wanted to do, and then he just left.
Yeah.
The Islanders organization.
But you can't just have a guy like.
You can't have your franchise player just leave and you don't get a single asset back for him.
It's hard to build up.
By deadline, if you don't have a confirmation
from him,
from Taylor Hall saying that he will re-sign with you,
you need to
cut bait and you need to get assets for him.
You need to probably know like maybe 2 weeks in advance if his decision doesn't change. You know?
Yeah.
You got to have time because he's a significant player, and if you want to get the best deal for him.
The thing of it is, though, is he wants to go and he wants to win.
Yeah.
And New Jersey's not winning, and they probably are going to be in consideration for a top pick this year.
Again.
So, I mean, yeah, he wants to get paid. I mean, he's coming off. This is a contract year. But I don't know. If I'm New Jersey, 2 weeks before the deadline, if you're not already signed, I'm calling up teams, and I'm seeing what I can get for you, because I can't have you leave my organization and
for
not
nothing.
Can't get a single asset back. I have to get something back from you.
No, you know you have to get to it, and I'd maybe say, you know what, maybe not beg, because if you start begging around, if you're the Devils and you start begging around, your their offers are going to be worse. But if you let the, if you tell
well,
them
see,
that
the
he's available and you let him, you let the calls come in, then maybe they'll be better.
Yeah,
but. That's just neither here nor there, but I think he's going to be gone.
I think so, too.
If he obviously doesn't want to be on a losing team,
and
you want to win.
He's made that clear.
So get the heck out of there while you can. But also don't be a complete jackwagon and say, like, oh, I'm going to resign and then not resign and then leave.
Yeah, kind of similar to what John Tavares did.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I think I'm going to resign.
I feel comfortable here, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
don't
like,
do
I want to. I want only want to be here and want to spend my, like, future here
don't
and
be,
whatnot.
Don't be that person.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on to the NFL.
Can I just take the first topic, please?
It's been a wild week. Yeah. We're just going to kick it off with the Thursday night matchup that happened.
So, as everybody knows that has a,
that follows sports.
Follows sports in general. The Browns won. The Browns won the Thursday night game against Pittsburgh.
That's not the storyline of this game.
First win in 5 years, okay? Let's just give them their due where it is, okay? They won for first time in 5 years. Baker Mayfield beat the Steelers, okay? The Steeler fans just have to let that sink in. Baker Mayfield beat the Steelers. But Myles Garrett also beat the crap out of Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, this is the real storyline from that game.
Yeah, sadly that, your best player goes on a rampage and it pretty much
loses.
Overshadows the fact that you won a very
loses
important game.
Loses his cool and does
now,
something that...
I'm not going to sit here and say Mason Rudolph did nothing because he instigated it, but that you have no leverage
see,
in saying
the thing,
that.
The thing of it is, though, is like most of the time when it comes to... Not something like this, but like just in general, retaliation gets more punishment.
Retaliation is like let somebody instigate you.
Yeah.
Let the instigator do it.
Exactly.
Okay, but then people will say, well, Garrett tackled him to the ground, and that instigated Rudolph to try to yank his helmet off. Okay.
It's his job to tackle.
It's your job to tackle. Yeah, like, what's he supposed to do?
Is he just like, oh, touch you?
By the time he lowered his head and grabbed onto Rudolph, Rudolph still had the ball, and he just threw it. So he's just doing his job as a defensive lineman and tackling him. But, yeah, Rudolph's wrong for trying to rip his, helmet off, but he did nothing of it.
Yeah.
So is he gonna get a fine? Yes. Does he deserve it? Yes. It deserves to be whatever he gets from it. And then it's what happened afterwards. Okay. Garrett full on picks Mason Rudolph up off the ground by yanking his face mask. pulls his helmet off. Okay, if you end it there, just throw the helmet, you know? If you're really going to be this
big... Well, he did throw the helmet. Just add...
You get rid of the helmet. You don't go for the helmet. That's the one thing. And then you got two guys holding you back. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Rudolph did go after him. But seriously, is that kind of guy any threat to Myles Garrett?
Yeah, no.
And then Myles Garrett decides to literally cock the helmet back and smack Rudolph in the head.
Yeah.
Now, it could have been a lot worse.
Could have been.
If the helmet was flipped upside down, Rudolph could have died on the field.
Yeah.
But it escalated to what it was. I mean, everybody's talked about it so far. The suspensions were handed out.
Mm.
Garrett suspended indefinitely without pay for at least the rest of the season.
Yep.
Marquise Pouncey gets 3 games, and I believe Larry Ogunjobi, who came into the brawl afterwards and shoved Rudolph, got 1 game.
Yeah.
I'm scared for next week's game. The game that – it's not this upcoming week, but week 13.
Okay.
Because they play each other again already in Pittsburgh. I'm just going to be scared for that game if I'm anybody on the field. I think Heinz Field should probably have extra security. Just because
I mean
– Now, granted, you're going to have
– Myles Garrett's probably not even going to be there.
Well, no, that's not the problem, but you still have – You still have a guy like Odell Beckham on the other side of the field that is not afraid to show his emotion.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I mean, look what he did to Josh Norman a few years ago when he lost his cool. So I'm not targeting anybody, but I'm just saying the refs that do this game better be ready to.
They got to keep the game in line.
They should also limit the, like, let them play, but only to an extent. Because there's going to be a lot of flags on this game. Yeah. A lot of them. But, no, congrats. I mean, the Browns won. They did what they needed to. So, Steelers played horrible. Well, Mason Rudolph played horrible. And it doesn't help that, you know, your top two receivers and your running back get hurt. Mm-hmm. But I'm not making any excuse. Like, 4 interceptions is just it's not what you want to see.
So, yeah.
All right.
So, Lamar Jackson now has beaten Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, and now Deshaun Watson. First off, for me, with that highlight of that game, straight up, is the DeAndre Hopkins no call of pass interference.
Yeah, Marlon Humphrey definitely hit him.
They literally said, like, I forget who it was that does the...
Well, it was Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts were announcing the game. They both... Yeah. Said that's pass interference, but whether or not and Gene Steratore is the head ref. Yeah, that's it.
Came in and said that there was 3 times during that one play where there was pass interference, and they didn't call pass interference at all.
No.
You had him hold DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. You had him,
smack his hands and then you turn him around.
Had the tug
that
turned him around.
Those are three. If one of those happen on a play, it's pass interference. All three of them happen.
Yeah. And you don't call it. And they challenged it and still didn't get it.
I think the challenge for that is honestly the most bogus thing that could have ever happened to the NFL, because I don't think how many of them have been reversed? It's not even 10. I don't think it's in the double digits for the amount of calls that have been reversed.
And then not only the fact of that, but the fact of when there's a when pass interference isn't called on the field. Yesterday was the first time
That it's happened
of where they didn't see it on the field, didn't call it on the field, and then they finally called it.
It's week 11.
Yeah.
You know? Don't you think it should have happened by now?
For sure.
So the whole challenging pass interference is bogus.
I mean, part of you can say, like, they do a good job then of calling pass interference.
No, they don't.
But when you look at it, we need to know more stats in terms of, like, how many times have a coach challenged for PI that wasn't called? Mm-hmm. That's the stat that we need to know. That was the turning point of the game, basically.
Yeah, and it was in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like,
it was fourth down.
Yeah.
And that would have been, gave him first and goal.
Not only first and goal, if he makes the catch, it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not, it's first and goal at the 1.
Exactly.
You know, so they would obviously get points, and they would actually...
This is when, at the game, when it was still 0-0.
Yeah. So. Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to change the whole outcome of the game because I still think the Ravens are something else. But, like, it wouldn't have been 41-7.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They need to get rid of the challenging thing. They need to be clear and concise what pass interference is. Heck, they need to be clear and concise about a lot of things. But, like, that was just – that was so blatantly obvious that I don't know how much
it was
more,
exactly like the thing in the playoff game.
Like, how much more evidence do you need? It was a catchable ball, and you just – Humphrey did three things to Hopkins that limited him from catching it. I don't know. Something's up, but
yeah,
that might just be me.
All right, this next one. I mean, I guess we're getting the Atlanta Falcons that we expected at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but it's too little too late. You have back-to-back weeks now where you beat a division opponent in their stadium.
Yeah.
You went into New Orleans last week, you throttled them, and now you dismantled the Panthers.
The Panthers didn't get anything going.
No.
Whatsoever.
Like, if this Falcons team was like, you know, if these were the first two games of the year and they were doing that, they would be seriously terrifying. But now that they have seven losses, I think everybody's just overlooking them.
And they're just kind of like, and okay.
They're actually doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I'm sad to see it because, like,
Atlanta was a real threat.
Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to be a real threat.
They were a real threat. And now that they went 1-7, these last two games have, like, moved up their draft position. You know?
Yeah. But
it's affecting
like,
it.
I mean,
but, like,
for them, they shouldn't be focused on that aspect.
Yeah, but
they're
9-7, and literally both wildcard teams right now have 8 wins.
Yeah.
So they are pretty much done.
Yeah, they're most definitely done.
But, like, why are you winning? Why?
To feel good.
Yeah, I guess, to ruin your division. Well, I mean, you're not hurting the Saints at all by beating them.
Dan Quinn wants to keep his job.
I mean, if they make it back to 500, he definitely deserves to keep his job.
Yeah.
But do I see that happening? No. They'll probably win 2 more games.
Yeah.
And he's probably gone, sadly.
But just doesn't make any sense because, like, a defense – was so bad, and now all of a sudden they're good.
They held two prolific offensive threats to nothing.
I mean,
okay, but like
Christian McCaffrey still had a game yesterday.
Yeah, but it didn't lead to.
It didn't give them a win.
And they held Drew Brees.
Yeah,
like they held Drew Brees with Alvin Kamara. Well, no, he didn't play. No, yeah, he did. They held him with Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas.
Yeah,
stuff's whack, man. The NFL is just—it's different.
Well, something as that like is in a continuous thing this entire season is the fact that the Redskins keep on struggling. Dwayne Haskins has not looked good.
The main reason I wanted to talk about this was like obviously, okay, you knew from the start of the season they were going to be bad.
Okay, yeah, for
like
sure.
They didn't have, they have Adrian Peterson, but like. Did they really start the right quarterback to begin the year? I don't know.
Maybe.
But
that's debatable.
The defense really isn't much of anything. They got Landon Collins. So, yeah. Like, they should have been a little bit better. But they haven't scored. What was it? I forget what this was because they showed a stat yesterday that really made me, like, consider. Like questioning things. And I believe how did they get those two touchdowns yesterday? Oh, it was Haskins. Okay. So yeah, in the fourth quarter, okay, they went before scoring two touchdowns in the fourth quarter yesterday, they went a full 4 games without scoring.
Yeah.
Like they didn't score a touchdown in the first 3 quarters and they didn't score a touchdown in the previous 3 games.
Wow.
I
mean, I knew they were bad, but I didn't know they were that bad.
Yeah. Well, it also doesn't help when your leading rusher has 25 yards against the Jets.
Okay. Like
25 yards.
I was going to say, I mean, all right, first off, they were dumb to not trade Trent Williams.
Well, it looks really bad what went on with that, so.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. That was not That was not good.
Can we say, are we going to put all the blame on Dwayne Haskins, though?
No. I'm really not putting any on him because, like, he's a rookie quarterback.
He's a rookie quarterback, doesn't have any threats on offense. Because, okay, you have Adrian Peterson on your team, but this isn't the Adrian Peterson, a young Adrian Peterson. This also isn't Adrian Peterson that has an O-line in front of him.
No.
And Adrian Peterson's not that, like, much of a threat catching the ball out of the backfield.
He never really has been.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, you have Chris Thompson. I mean, congrats to Darius Geis. Got his first touchdown.
Yeah, many more to come, honestly, probably for him.
Yeah, as praying for him to always be healthy because he has not had a great start to his career.
No.
But
they are just – the only thing that was a plus, really, for them in that game was when
– The fact that they lost to the Jets, and that means that they basically solidified
it's when Dwayne Haskins – went over to his offensive line and asked them what he could do for them, because that shows a leader. Like, that shows you got a good kid, and that's what we always talk about on here, is about you want a good character as a.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But the kid's a good. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a straightforward. He wants to win, but he's not going to win this year. So you just got to wait.
Yeah,
they're a work in progress. All right,
so that's for sure.
We'll see who they get in the draft, because if they get Chase Young, whew.
That defense should be scary.
That's going to be a fun – that'll help him out a lot.
All right. So if you would have told me before the game that the Vikings would have beat the Denver Broncos, I'd have been like, yeah, okay. Like, I expected that. But the fact that the Vikings were down like 20 to nothing at half.
Yeah. This just further exemplifies the reason why I cannot – stand Kirk Cousins.
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. It's the reason why I don't trust Kirk Cousins.
Well, I just can't. Like, okay, yeah, the guy had 319 yards. Congratulations. You had 3 touchdowns. Congratulations. You scored nothing in the first quarter.
Yeah,
you were at home.
You did absolutely nothing.
This defense was
supposed to be good.
Was a thing that was scary in the past, but they don't have Bradley Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
You can focus on Von Miller. Your offensive line isn't, you know, horrible. You should still be able – I mean, you have Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith that could at least do a little bit of a chip on Miller. And then you have was the league's leading rusher in Dalvin Cook. You had Stephon Diggs because Adam Thielen's still not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And more like you're at home. That's one of the biggest – I mean, it's a very good home advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's
– what – I don't know. They got lucky. They got a win, you know.
Yeah.
Congrats. They played good in the second half. Their defense played lights out in the second half. And by the way, that defense shouldn't be celebrating completely, because they literally gave up 20 points in the first half
to
a Denver Broncos defense with Brandon Allen.
Yeah.
You know, no disrespect. The man's in the NFL, okay?
Congrats.
That's what everybody has to understand about me, like people like us saying that, okay? He's in the NFL. Congrats, you know, you made it.
But he's not a top quarterback.
But compared to that Vikings defense, you guys are mammoths compared to him.
Yeah, exactly. Just
beat him. I don't know. They're still a playoff team. Like, that's not swaying away. They're 8-3. They're undefeated at home.
Yeah, which is...
Wow. But they're not going to get a home game, in my opinion. So
unless they somehow beat the Packers.
You have to beat the Packers in order to get a home game. So good luck with that.
Two teams that were the last two remaining unbeaten teams squeaked out wins this week. 49ers over the Cardinals, and then the Patriots over the Eagles.
Neither game concerned me, but it was just like...
Well, the 49ers was a little bit more interesting just by the fact that the
Cardinals went up 16-0 quickly.
That, and you had the Cardinals bouncing back every single time that the 49ers would score.
But, like, everybody's going to be like, well, they didn't have Kittle. Okay. Boo-hoo.
You played the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Like,
at home.
Yeah.
Just step up, you know?
And then for the Patriots game, really, I mean, like, the first three possessions, the Eagles looked sharp. And after that, the Patriots defense took over.
The only reason the Eagles won that Super Bowl was because they had Nick Foles and not Carson Wentz.
Sure.
I will not ever take that back, because the reason they won that Super Bowl was because of Nick Foles. Nick Foles is something different. I'm not saying Carson's a bad leader, but people want to follow Nick Foles. And that's probably why the Jags started him instead of Minshew, but it really helped, huh? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but
no, I'm like genuinely serious. Like the biggest reason they won that Super Bowl was because of Nick Foles. There was no defense played in that Super Bowl whatsoever between either team.
No, there wasn't. And it was a much different game because
there was probably a third of the amount of yards.
Yeah.
And it was 17-10, so that's 27 total points compared to 70. Wait, no. Was it 41-33?
It was something close to that.
So that's 70 some. You know, you're almost a third of the points. So,
I mean, realistically, we just got to look at the game and say, okay, the Eagles gave the Patriots fits early on, but the Patriots do what they do best, and they
adjust.
But another big takeaway is that the Patriots' offense has not looked good.
Ever, like, recently, it hasn't.
Yeah. Baltimore didn't look good. Against the Eagles, it didn't look good.
Baltimore does some weird things. Like, they're not a great defense anymore. Like, they're not top-tier elite, but, like, they can do some weird things. They have three shutdown corners that are serious.
Yeah.
So, like,
see, the thing that is, though, is the Patriots' running game. What running game?
Where is it?
Yeah.
You have guys.
I mean, are we?
The leading rusher in the game was Miles Sanders, and he had 38 yards.
But, like, are we going to say,
holy cow,
that the reason why the Patriots' offense is so stagnant is because of James Devlin not being there?
Okay.
And Isaiah Wynn. Because those are two guys that help out the running game.
Yeah.
Significantly.
For sure.
And they even help out the passing game because they give Brady more protection.
Uh-huh.
So,
when you're the greatest quarterback of all time, you're not looking for excuses, though. You're looking for
and
we can do this.
He didn't give any excuses. No. He straight up said that, I think it was today or yesterday, saying that the focal point of this team isn't the offense anymore. It's the defense and special teams.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah. To a lesser extent special teams, because, like, whenever I think of it, you don't really have a – I mean, I don't know Gunner. Like, I haven't seen him that well play. But, like, the defense is serious because, like, Brady could play like that and
– Well, I'm not just meaning, like, kick returns and punt returns.
Just special teams in general with the punter, because Bailey's pretty good.
Bailey's good. And,
but you got to have more trust in your kicker, which, I mean, I understand why you don't, because you've had three already this season. So, but
before we get into the overreaction, non-overreactions, we're going to talk a little bit about some college football – more specifically, the injury to Tua.
Tua Tagovailoa had a very, very scary situation happen to him on Saturday. And luckily, he had surgery today. But that doesn't clear up any concerns, because
this could have been a career-ending injury.
It still could be. It's the same exact injury that Bo Jackson had. And that ended his career. And Bo Jackson was a much bigger man than – I mean, that could also be a reason why. But not only did he dislocate his hip, he, like, got his head smashed in.
Yeah.
And there's no – like, okay, I get it. You're in college football. Like, he obviously wants to play the game no matter what the score was, okay? But when you look at it, they were up 35-7.
Yeah.
And
the only reason why you had him out there is because you wanted it as a two-minute offense.
Okay, but, like, you risk that, and it's like, the man's proven he can do that. Like, you have three elite receivers, you have a stud running back, and you have a really good quarterback that obviously teams don't know how to defend a lefty, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, your only threat left is Auburn.
Yeah.
Okay. And most likely you're probably going to play, if you beat Auburn, you're probably going to play in the SEC championship game again.
Mm-hmm.
No. No, you're not, because LSU beat you.
Yeah.
So it's going to be LSU and Georgia, more than likely. But you play Auburn, okay? You need that win to have a chance at the playoff.
Yeah.
And now with who, Mac Jones? Like, that was fine when they played their little gimme games at the beginning of the year when he got hurt, okay? That's Auburn's a scary team, and they don't give a crap.
Yeah.
Because they almost beat Georgia. Yeah. They probably should have beat Georgia. I don't know. Do you by chance know off the top of your head where that game's at?
No, I have no clue. I don't really, I don't follow college football that much.
Well, I'm going to look it up because I'm thinking, I realistically think it's at Alabama. Oh, it's a late game. No, it's at Auburn. Okay. Yeah. You screwed up because I'm not saying – I'm not being like, okay, Auburn's going to win the game. You know?
Yeah.
I won't sit up here and say that. But do I give them a better chance now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
So – and I hope – okay, I don't hope because, you know, that's terrible to say. But this week in the playoff rankings by ESPN or whoever does it, you know, they might fall down even after winning.
Yeah.
Because if I don't know about you, but if it's me, I'm not putting them in unless Tua is healthy.
For sure.
Because he's the reason why they're special. You don't want Mac Jones going in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no disrespect to him, but like Tua is the reason they're who they are.
Yeah.
Now, I'm granted you could probably still win with a backup quarterback with the receiver, the offense they have. Okay.
It's still the fact that you're missing your starting quarterback.
You're still missing one of the most explosive players in the college football in the country, and he's just not playing because you have LSU, obviously, you have Ohio State, and you have Clemson. It's that fourth spot who was currently held by Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't see them doing it because I see LSU stomping on them in the SEC championship game. But you have those three, and then you have, like, well, Oregon's getting a lot of love for some reason, and so is Utah. But they're not going to put Utah in the playoff.
No.
Oregon probably could because it's a top quarterback.
Yeah. But see, I don't know.
Well, not only does this hurt Alabama's chances at the playoff, this also hurts Tua's draft stock.
Oh, it hurts his draft stock entirely.
Because this isn't his first injury, and now teams are going to be worried, like, hey,
injury prone.
Is this literally a big concern? Because
will he even be able to play?
Is this literally career ending? And will we know by the draft? I mean, we're obviously probably going to know by the draft.
Yeah.
But like, is it that serious that you need to consider, hey, maybe let's not draft him?
Yeah.
But then does he get stolen by a team that's already in playoff contention and literally lights it up?
I mean, maybe.
But I'm just praying for the kid. I mean, I don't hate him at all.
Yeah, I wish
I hope he
a speedy recovery.
Because he deserves to play in the NFL, and I can't wait to see him put on a jersey.
Yeah.
No matter who it is.
Well, let's move in our last topics, the overreaction versus non-overreaction. We got three topics today, as we usually do. First one is Lamar Jackson in the lead for MVP.
We've said this for what?
This is an overreaction for me.
How many times do we have to say it? This guy.
Yeah, he's a great. He's a good running. He's good at running. But he's not my pick for MVP.
They are destroying teams.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the past two games against probably the two hardest teams. Well, okay, they played Seattle in Seattle and beat them, which is not an easy task whatsoever. Mm. You welcome an undefeated New England team home at your house, and you destroy their defense, and then you absolutely murder Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And, like, he's never lost by more than a possession.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I mean, this is more of something that's more solidified at the end of the year because you could change week by week.
Yeah.
So,
and see, the thing of it is like, okay, the Ravens in general are just a good running team.
Yeah. But seriously, to answer the question, it at least changed for me this week because, like, he's on a tear. And
for me, it's an overreaction.
I mean, we want to see him play against – he's playing the Rams this upcoming week in Los Angeles, so let's see how he, you know.
Yeah, how he plays and whatnot.
I mean, he beat Seattle in Seattle, so, like, you already have a little bit of a taste, but let's see how he does against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Just meanwhile, Mason Rudolph beat Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. I'm just saying, yeah. He didn't turn the ball over. So we'll see.
Next topic is Christian McCaffrey is the Panthers' only hope. Overreaction, too.
Is he their only hope? Is he their only good player?
He's not their only good player. He's their star, but he's not the only good player on that team.
On the offense, he sure is. Kyle Allen's struggling. Like, he's finally hitting that peak where it's like, okay, I'm in the NFL. I need to play decent.
They got young wide receivers that are good. That's really... He's not the only good player on that team.
Okay, but you shut him down, they're pretty...
Yeah, if you shut him down, like I said, he's the star of the team, and he's their focal point on offense. But you really can't shut him down. Because you can shut him down in the running attack, but okay, that just means he's going to get the ball through the air then, which he did.
Oh, my God. He has 199 rushing attempts. He has 59 receptions.
Yeah.
That's second on the team. Now, okay, DJ Moore, 62 receptions for 779 yards. Okay. Greg Olson's third with 40 catches. Curtis Samuel, then Jarius Wright. Well, yeah, you have the little clump in here that's decent. Then Jarius Wright's kind of like in the middle, and then you have everybody else who has like three catches.
Yeah.
They have... This year, okay, wait, is that true? Oh, my Lord. Kyle Allen has 10 touchdown passes, okay? That's how many receiving touchdowns each, like, these players have. McCaffrey has 3 of them. And he also has 11 rushing touchdowns. Now, granted, yeah, one man can't beat a team, especially in football, because there's 11 people yeah. on the field. But if you shut him down, which I don't know how, you do, because he's obviously averaging 100 yards a game
mm-hmm.
rushing and about 50, 51, 52 receiving yards a game.
Yeah.
So he's hitting you at about 150, 155 all-purpose yards a game. I don't know how you shut him down, but...
You can't.
He's pretty good. So I will say not an overreaction because you got to learn how to shut him down, which until you do that... He's
all right.
Yeah.
Last topic for the day. Last overreaction, not overreaction. The Oakland Raiders will be a wild card too.
Will be the wild card too.
Mm.
See, this is one thing that I was just okay. I probably should have worded this better. Let's just say, will they make a wild card spot? At least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with them being a good team. And it has everything to do with how easy their schedule is.
Exactly. They play the Jets next week. They play the Bengals yesterday.
Yeah. Like, their schedule's easy enough that when comparing it to other teams, they realistically, at worst, be a wild card too.
Mm-hmm.
At best, maybe even win the division.
Yeah, they can.
It's a realistic possibility. If Kansas City loses tonight,
they're leading the division.
They're leading the division.
Which it's because both teams are 6-4, and Kansas City hasn't had their bye yet. So
yeah, but this one wraps this one up. We won't see you guys next week because we're going to be on Thanksgiving break. But we'll see you in 2 weeks.